This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Welcome back, Zoneheads. It is Thursday, and you know what that means. It's time for a fresh episode of The Underreported, the episode where I get a chance to take a look at a story that I feel is just flying a little bit under the radar in our Orlando sports ecosystem. I'm your host, Greg Rhodes, and I'm really excited about this week's episode because we're talking about playoffs. We're talking about playoffs in so many different leagues right now, and if you live in Orlando, a lot of that focus is on the Orlando Magic. Yes, I get it. The Orlando Magic, the NBA team here, is in the playoffs, and I'm wishing them all the luck. I'm rooting for them. Hell, I'll even be at the game tonight to cover the Magic for the different outlets that I work for. And of course, Brandon Kravitz has your coverage from head to tail on the NBA. But they're not the only playoffs that are taking place this time of year. The hockey playoffs are in full swing. We're talking NHL playoffs, Lightning Panthers in the first round. But that's not the playoff hockey I'm looking to talk about. I'm looking to talk about ECHL hockey. I'm talking Orlando Solar Bears. And who better to talk Orlando Solar Bears with than the voice himself, Joey Patino. Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando and welcome to The Underreported.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg.
Yeah, no, really excited to have you here. With the playoffs coming up, or actually even just already started, they're coming back to the Kia Center here coming up on this weekend. Just kind of wanted to get a chance to kind of talk a little bit of Solar Bears hockey with you and a little bit about your role with the team. So I know that you are the director of communications and broadcasting, but really the fun part of your job has to be being known as the voice of the Solar Bears, right?
Yeah, I'm certainly, when I think about my career and how long I've been doing this now, it's already been 13 years. And certainly the passion of it comes from the play-by-play broadcasting side and being able to be on the road with the players and, getting to know them and the coaches and all of our support staff. It really, in terms of the play-by-play broadcasting, it's really about telling compelling stories. And certainly the Orlando Solar Bears, especially this season, has been an extremely compelling story. It started out a little slow for the club, and then they were able to rifle off at one point 8 consecutive wins, and then followed up a little later. About 3 weeks later, they were winless in 12 straight, and it looked like they were going to miss the playoffs. And then we went 9-2-1 down the stretch and made the playoffs on the last day of the season. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster, but certainly it's been a fun team to cover to this point, and I think it's only going to get better from here as the playoffs continue.
Yeah, no, people use that comparison to a roller coaster, and that has to be great as a play-by-play voice of the team kind of guy to be able to just kind of have these compelling storylines that are coming up almost seemingly weekly, right?
It is. When you have a situation where, like we did when we got into the playoffs on the last day of the regular season, needing a regulation win to clinch the final playoff spot, and in a situation where we're in a tie game with the team we were playing, and the other team that could have gone into the playoffs was actually winning their game. So that would have meant if we would have even gone to overtime in our game and the other team won in regulation, we would have been eliminated. So our coach actually pulled the goaltender in a tie game, and we scored with 28 seconds left to win our game and essentially eliminate the other team in the process. So it was all the way down to the wire just to get here. And it's like I said, you talk about compelling storylines and just having the ability to tell these stories each and every night. Just getting in that way, certainly something that's pretty unique, and for our club, our guys have really, fed off the emotion of that into the first two games of the playoffs.
Now, I'm sure you've had a lot of these kinds of up and down seasons, like you said, in your 13 years in broadcasting now. But from what I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've been doing this since you were 18. You were the voice of the Flint Generals. Is that correct? At the age of 18.
Yeah. So that was my first. That was my first job in hockey. I went to, I'm a late birthday, so I graduated high school at age 17. So I went to 1 year of a broadcasting school in Michigan that unfortunately no longer exists, but it's merged with Lawrence Tech University. So that's what it is now. It was called Specs Howard School of Broadcast at the time. And it's a 10-month program. I went through that process and I graduated in July of 2009. And going into the 9-10 season, the Flint Generals, who at the time were in the reincarnation of the IHL, not exactly the same IHL that the old Solar Bears teams used to be in, but the reincarnation of the league. And they were looking for a broadcaster. And my career services representative at the school called me and said, you know, we think this would be a perfect, you know, fit for you, given your background in hockey. And, you know, we feel like I wanted to be a sports reporter. That was my original goal. I wanted to be on television and I wanted to report the news and the sports. And so they thought, you know, we think you have the chops for play-by-play. You should at least throw your hat in the ring and see what happens. And I never called a game in my life. I remember we had a preseason game in Flint, and the general manager of the team said, I'm going to give you my computer and, you know, here's a microphone and just scream into the mic for 3 hours and that'll be your demo tape. And that's exactly what I did. And I guess it was good enough. It was between me and one other guy. And I think he was based out of San Diego. So I think I lucked out because I was living just outside of Detroit at the time. And it was only an hour drive. And I think maybe the team didn't want to pay for the travel to bring that guy in from San Diego. So I got a little lucky there. But I think that's sometimes that's what you need to get in. So, yeah, I've been doing this now since I was 18. And it's been wild. It seems like it's been forever, but it really, I'm 33 years old. Like I'm pretty young, but it's been a grind over those years, but I'm still like extremely passionate about it. And, I love it. It's fantastic.
What a way to get into that. Just here you go. Here's a computer. Here's a microphone. We think you know what you're going to do. That's fine. Go for it.
There's a lot of trust really. When I look back on it, it's crazy because, I have a lot of college kids reach out and you know, they want to know what it takes to get even to this level. And I always have to tell them, guys, you know, my story, it's never going to be like this again. You know, I didn't go to college. I got a job in hockey and I said, well, let's see how this works out. You know, I was just like, let's just see what I can get out of this. And if it's 1 year, 2 years, great. And then I'm still young enough. I can go to a 4-year university wherever I want. And I already have all this experience in my back pocket and I'll be all set. And you know, you never know, like you could try to map out your life and how your career is going to go and how it's all going to fit. And you really don't know until you go through it. And turns out even with COVID, that was the only time in my career since then that I was, you know, looking for work. And even that, you know, my experience during COVID, even though the league I was working in at the time wasn't playing, I was able to work a few games in the American Hockey League that year for the Grand Rapids Griffins. So I've worked in hockey ever since 2009. I've been extremely lucky, met a ton of people along the way. And, you know, I just tell those students that reach out, guys, you know, just take into consideration that you won't be able to do it this way, but it's a fun story to tell nonetheless.
And then when those crazy opportunities come your way, jump on them.
Absolutely. You know, that's the main theme is like, guys, you know, at the end of the day, I threw my hat in the ring for a job that I didn't think I thought I had 0% possibility of getting, and I ended up getting the job. So I guess if anything, you know, that's the lesson that, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You bet on yourself in every situation. And if anything, even if you don't get the job, there's a good chance you learn something in the process. And you know, that's what I try to leave them with.
That's such a great way to look at it too. Especially like you said, for those kids coming out of college, just kind of have that mindset. Like don't say no, make sure that you're saying yes. Even if you don't think you're there, like go for it. Somebody thinks you are. Somebody thinks you have a chance. That's why they're asking you to do it.
100%, you know, and I think that's, if I had to point at one downfall of college kids now versus when I first got into the business was, you know, I'm not going to say they want it easy, but they believe that they're entitled to these opportunities and not so much that they have to work for them. And so, you know, I think telling like that, that's part of the story here too, is like, you know, you do, when you do get these types of opportunities, you have to be ready for them. And part of that is having confidence in what you do. And part of that is being prepared. And part of that is working extremely hard too. You know, and so I think that's part of it too, with a younger culture, is just, guys, there's still a lot of work that has to be done. You don't just wake up one morning and you're an expert at what you do. You have to work extremely hard at it.
It tastes the sweetest after the grind. Yep.
Let's take a quick pause in the action to talk about today's sponsor, Diamond Dog Athletics, run by my guy Nick, a veteran-owned and operated apparel and sportswear company that specializes in creating custom apparel for teams of all ages. I'm talking baseball, softball, bats, gloves, catcher's equipment, uniforms, hats, and hoodies, you name it. By creating custom high-quality uniforms that the players will love, they'll look good on and off the field, and by using the best gear and equipment on the market, it will encourage them to continue to put in the effort needed to make it as far as possible on the diamond. Take a look for yourself. You'll be blown away with what you see at Diamond Dog Athletics on Instagram, or you can send Nick an email, diamonddogathleticsllc@gmail.com. Back to the show.
Now with your relationship with the ECHL, you've been doing this for 13 years. You've been around and you've seen some of these minor league setups. Can you talk a little bit on the Solar Bears relationship with the Lightning and just how unique that is, especially in the ECHL, just how close they are in proximity to the team and how that really does affect the team?
Well, I could put it to you this way. I got hired by the Solar Bears in November of 2022. Well, actually, it was October of 2022, but I got down here in November. And the first call I got was from the director of broadcasting of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Steve Versick. So it's an incredibly tight relationship. It's probably tighter than most ECHL NHL relationships, just due to geographical proximity. Most NHL teams are striving to have their American League market closer to them, and then the ECHL market, obviously with the transactions, usually not going from ECHL to NHL directly, it's not as important geographically for those teams to be close. But I think here in Central Florida, It's a especially unique market that way, that when, you know, we'll have a home game at Kia Center, and sure, like there's always a ton of Solar Bears jerseys in the crowd, but I see just as much Tampa Bay Lightning merchandise and jerseys at our games as Solar Bears stuff. Our fans are Tampa Bay Lightning fans, and I think that's what makes our ECHL team and our market in particular very unique, because there are markets in this league that the NHL team that the city cheers for isn't necessarily the NHL team that the ECHL team is affiliated with, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we're very lucky that way. We also have great ownership. We're owned by the DeVos family, as well as the Orlando Magic. And obviously, it's a first-class organization, from the Magic to us, to all of the DeVos endeavors. We're extremely lucky in this league to have solid ownership. Not every team in this league is as lucky as we are in that department. So it really starts there. With the solid ownership and knowing that, you know, we can be comfortable in our roles here and know that we're not going anywhere, And it allows you, like, because I've worked in situations where you're extremely uncomfortable. You know, you're not sure one day to the next what's going to happen ownership wise and team wise and job wise, and you can go down the list. And here, there obviously is none of those question marks, and so it really allows ourselves in the front office, our hockey operations staff, to work at ease. And then the relationships with the Lightning, that's more based on the hockey operations side, obviously, with our roster transactions and things of that nature. But certainly we've had some pretty good players come through here in Orlando over the years that I actually have the TV on right in front of me, and it's not a Tampa Bay Lightning player, but I'm watching the Bruins and the Maple Leafs right now. And I just saw Ryan Reeves throw a huge check, and Reeves played here for the Orlando Solar Bears when he was in the minors. So we've had a bit of a pipeline to the NHL here, which is great. Obviously that's the goal, is for fans, when the players do get to the NHL, that they recognize that and say, oh, that's an Orlando Solar Bears alumni. You know, that's great for business for us.
Oh yeah. No, that's gotta be great to be, like you said, you pop it on and you see a guy that you've called games for. And when you see guys in those environments where they're playing right now in the playoffs or even during the regular season in the NHL, how much of an impact do you think it was playing for an ECHL team that plays in an NHL quality arena? The Kia Center is one of the top NBA arenas in the league, but if it were an NHL arena, it would be right up near the top as well.
I agree with you. I think our atmosphere in our building, second to none. You know, obviously, like, we're not packing the Kia Center the way the Magic do for their home games, but we're consistently in the top 10, top five, even in attendance in our league. And that, I think that says a lot, because what people don't take into consideration is, if we got all of our Friday and Saturday nights that we wanted, we'd probably lead the league in attendance, but we don't. We play on Monday nights, we play on Tuesday nights, because the Magic have priority. And so that's one thing when people look at our league attendance, and the pushback sometimes that I've gotten from people, like, publicly, is, you know, if Orlando's such a great market, why don't they lead the league in attendance? Well, I think it's pretty impressive to have a top five in attendance when we played 4 Mondays, 6 Tuesdays, and only had, I believe, 4 Saturday nights the entire season. Meanwhile, all these other teams that have priority in their buildings, you know, are have less average attendance than us. So it's a great market. I think it really goes back to the original Solar Bears in the 90s with the IHL and the Turner Cup champions in 2000, and then the reincarnation of the Solar Bears in the ECHL. This was a market that already understood the game and supported it well in the past. And I think that's only grown since then with this addition of the Solar Bears. The only thing that's missing right now is a Kelly Cup championship, and hopefully we're on our way.
That's perfect. Yep. No, that's exactly where we're going to go with this. I want to talk a little bit about how the team performed leading up to the playoffs here, and then we'll jump into this playoff series that they're in right now with the Swamp Rabbits. But going into the playoffs, they ended up the season fourth seeded in the South after the 72 game season, 19th in the league in goals. So a little bit left of wanting on the offensive side, but seventh in allowed goals. Is that really kind of what you expect out of this team, is to, maybe not the highest scoring, but they're going to shut you down in the defensive side?
Yeah, we had some recalls in the middle of the season, and a couple of players decide to continue their professional careers in Europe that cost us a little bit on the offensive side of the puck. So yes, like in the second half of the season, we kind of changed our identity a little bit in terms of how we play. We became a much heavier team, where at the beginning of the year, we were largely a skilled-based team that was going to try to outscore you. Really, the key ingredient for us down the stretch was we got spectacular goaltending all year round. We had Colton Ellis here, who's actually a St. Louis Blues draft pick. He was here earlier in the year. He won Goaltender of the Week and Goaltender of the Month awards in the ECHL. But with that success came a call up to Springfield in the American Hockey League. So we lost Ellis midway through the season. Well, then Brandon Halverson stepped up, And he started the year on an ECHL deal with Orlando, and then was signed by Syracuse, who is our in the Tampa Bay family. They're the American League affiliate of the Lightning. So Halvorsen signs his AHL deal, which means he's starting to go up and down. We had an injury earlier this year to a goaltender named Evan Fitzpatrick. He's on a Syracuse deal to the American League as well, but he had to work his way back in the lineup after injury. And Fitzpatrick was spectacular. He won goaltender of the week twice in a span of 3 weeks from late March into April. And he's our goalie now in the playoffs. So the consistent area all year round for the Solar Bears and kind of their calling card has been their goaltending's been phenomenal. And then outside of that, obviously with strong goaltending comes high end defensive play. You mentioned the goals allowed. We finished the season fifth in the regular season in goals allowed with team defense. And so pretty good stat there. And it helps when, you know, you're only giving up 2.5 goals a game. You get to 3, usually you win that hockey game. So yes, our shortcomings is we're not a team that's going to light it up, but also we haven't needed to be that team because our goaltending and defensive play has been so strong. And so our goaltending's given us a chance to win every night.
Now, I want to backpedal a little bit and talk a little bit more about that balancing act that you were talking about between trying to strive for team success, because yeah, obviously you're competitive. You want to win. You want to win these games when you're going out there to play, but it's also a player development league. So you're trying to get these guys ready for the next level, the AHL, the NHL, or even the European leagues for some of these guys. Can you talk a little bit more on that? Just how difficult that has to be, not only as a play-by-play guy, because you've got to learn a different lineup or a different set of lines every game almost, but also just on the coaching mindset, like how he has to project out his lineup.
Well, I have the easy part of all that is just learning the guys' names. The head coach and GM, Matt Carkner, has the tough part trying to put his lineup together every night when, you know, the hardest part of it at this level being 2 levels short of the National Hockey League is most of the time, if a player is having success, they're going up.
Right. They're not long for the ECHL at that point. Right.
Right. And certainly there's factors that go into that as well. Every ECHL team has players on NHL contracts, AHL contracts, and ECHL contracts. Normally your ECHL contracts are the core of your team. It would take, basically a desperation situation for an American League team to pull one of those players up, meaning they don't have enough players to play in Syracuse. So we need to sign X player who is on an ECHL deal just to fill out our roster, which that's what we're here for as the ECHL team. Also, you have AHL contracts on 2-way deals, which are AHL ECHL deals. Which means that player will go back and forth from the American League to the ECHL as the organization sees fit. Then you have your NHL deals, which are usually entry-level contracts, which are prospect players, usually 1, 2, 3 years outside of their NHL draft year. And normally if that player is in the ECHL, they are hoping that player will work their way back to the American Hockey League as soon as possible. So that is the player for us on our roster that we get and lose the most, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see where that, again, that dichotomy has to be, there has to be a balance there and somewhere. Now that we're at the end of the season, you finally kind of have a little bit more of a set roster at this point, I'd imagine. NHL's in their playoffs, AHL's in their playoffs. They've got their teams. They know what they need.
Correct. Yeah. And in the ECHL, we're allowed to have a playoff eligible list of guys that can go back and forth. And that's limited. You can only have 5 spots for that. And so you just have to pick and choose wisely with the players that you think have an opportunity to come down at some point to play with your team. And for Orlando, you know, we've, I believe three of them have already come up. Tanner Dickinson from Springfield, Mitchell Holscher, who is unfortunately injured right now, but he came up from came down from Springfield, and Jeremy Biakabatuka as well, who's on a St. Louis Blues contract, came down from Springfield as well. So three of those five players who are on our eligible list for the playoffs are already here in Orlando to fill out our roster.
There we go. So we've got the roster filled out. We've started the series against the Swamp Rabbits. Now, we started on the road against the Swamp Rabbits, and we split the series. How did you see that going? Do you think just stealing one on the road, is that just as big in the ECHL playoffs as what you talk about in the NHL and NBA playoffs?
It's huge. It might even be bigger, Greg, because we're playing a 2-3-2 format against Greenville, so we have a chance to win the series at Kia Center with the next three games coming at home. So it's actually even bigger that we were able to split in Greenville coming back home for three. So I think Orlando's in a great position. You look at the box score of both games, and the stats don't look pretty for Orlando. They gave up quite a bit of shots on goal. Their goaltending, again, was key. We talked about that with Evan Fitzpatrick. He had a 43-save shutout in our overtime win in game one. And then they finally got to him a little bit in game two, but he only gave up three goals and an empty netter. And they won 4-2, but they had 39 shots on goal in the second game. So we'll see if the tides turn a little bit in terms of just pucks to the net at home. Obviously, the Kia Center is going to be a different environment than Greenville. I don't want to throw stones here, but the environment for a Sunday and Monday game in Greenville is not going to match a Saturday night at Kia Center with probably over 9,000. So we're looking forward to getting back home. I know the guys are excited about the possibility of winning this series at home, but they got to do the work and take three games and three nights from the Swamp Rabbits. And you don't have to go back long to remember the last time they did that. The last three games of the regular season in Orlando, our last three home games of the regular season in Orlando, they beat Greenville three straight games.
There you go. Running off of recency bias. It sounds like they're going to run off another three straight games, right?
There you go. It's the stats are supporting it.
Right. And now, what kind of expectations do you have for them to make adjustments going in? Now, you talked about how many shots on goal they were giving up and things like that. Are you expecting to see any major adjustments out from the lineups, or are we just going to push it back out and see if we can make those on the ice?
Maybe some subtle changes. I don't think there's going to be external in terms of roster moves, but I do maybe see a tweak or two to the lineup for Friday night. I know there's some players that were a little banged up that are getting healthier. It was actually key to have 3 days off here in the middle of the series. We played on Sunday, Monday in Greenville, and those were two really physically demanding hockey games. Greenville had a suspension come out of it for a body check, and there were some extracurriculars going on in those two games. So the guys get a couple of days to rest up. Certainly Greenville gets a couple of days to rest up as well. But I think it's going to be a good thing specifically for Orlando, who has been dealing with guys a little banged up, to get a little healthier going into this three game set. And I don't expect anything huge. They might want to play with a little more pace than they did in Greenville. I know they're going to want to be a little bit more physical. I thought the Swamp Rabbits took the physicality to Orlando just a little more than I thought or I anticipated they would. And so I know when you're at home, you get the last change, right? So you get to match up a little bit easier with the lines and the combinations you want out there as the home team. And so I'll be interested to see how Orlando handles that against Greenville on Friday night.
Now, be honest with me, Joey. We're coming up as the fourth seed in the South. Is there a chance that we're going to see some Kelly Cup final on home ice?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. The Florida Everblades won the Kelly Cup last year, and they were the fourth seed in the South Division, just like the Solar Bears are this year.
mark it on your calendars. We're going to have some Kelly Cup finals here on home ice at the Kia Center. That's what I like to hear, Joey.
Okay. Well, I can't say that, but, you know.
We got to get the people going. We're going to get the people
going. That'd be
great. So that'd be great. I very much look forward to that. Now, I did mention earlier that I did want to talk a little bit about the future of hockey in Florida. And it's a hot state for hockey right now. We've got a great series going on right now between the Lightning and Panthers. Both have been tops of the league over the last couple of seasons. The Lightning are one of the hardest tickets to get in the state right now. Is this ever what you expected when you moved down here, when you were coming down from where you're coming from in Michigan, which is a huge hockey destination, coming down to Florida and just seeing how competitive it is right now?
It's great to see. You know, I've worked in a couple of different markets in my career, one of them being Odessa, Texas from 2013 to 2015. And I don't want to take anything away from that market because hockey was pretty successful there for a lot of years, but it's really unique to see, Central Florida, really, go, if you count Tampa as part of that area, just the fandom they have for this sport in an area where the weather's fantastic. You'd be nuts to lock yourself in an arena all day. And yet they have the youth hockey as strong as it is here. You have, the ECHL here in Orlando, you have the ECHL in Estero with the Florida Everblades, you have the ECHL in Jacksonville, with the Icemen. Then you got, the National Hockey League teams in Tampa and Sunrise. And you could argue that Florida is just as strong of a hockey state as Michigan, as Massachusetts, as Minnesota. And, some of those states, like there's more professional hockey here than there is there. And so I think a lot of that has to do with, corporate dollars and ownership with deep pockets down here, which is great. Obviously, it allows us to operate because we have to travel quite a ways because we're in Florida. And it allows us to operate at a very high level. So I've been nothing but impressed, not only with our situation here in Orlando, but just talking to people in Tampa. I still haven't had a chance to get to the games over there in Tampa because, like you mentioned, it's not easy to get a ticket. And where our seasons are aligned to where we're both playing at the same time. So I actually haven't had a chance to go to Amalie Arena yet, but I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to go to a Lightning game and take it all in. And I've actually never been to Sunrise either, but I want to do that as well. It's really neat. I hope that people outside of Florida understand, how good it really is and that it's not a niche down here anymore. People are legitimate hockey fans, even the locals. I think that was always the argument 10, 15 years ago was, the only people that watch hockey in Florida are the people that moved down here from wherever, Michigan, Canada, you name it. And that's not the case anymore. There's a ton of locals here in Orlando that love the Solar Bears. And I'm sure a ton of locals in Tampa that, love the Lightning. And it's great to see. And it's what makes us a sustainable product for years to come.
Yeah, no. And you mentioned the three ECHL teams here in Florida between us, the Everblades, and the Icemen. Now, here's my question. Why is there no AHL team in Florida? And that's kind of what I wanted to get on talking about the future a little bit in Florida. We're the sixth highest in attendance, 6,600 plus average attendance this last year. Nobody else in the top five has an NBA or Major League Soccer team that's going to help draw away. So really, Orlando, I would put, is probably the number one hockey destination out of the ECHL. And that attendance number is higher than 21 AHL teams. So why is this just not already done? Why is Orlando not already in the AHL?
Well, the easy, or I shouldn't say the most obvious answer is the American Hockey League lacks a southern footprint. So you would need more than just Orlando to go. You know what I mean? So they just lack a geographical footprint in the South, period. There's Austin, Texas with the Stars. There's Charlotte with the Checkers. but that's about as far south as they go. Now, if you remember back a few years, the UCHL was a part of this. The American Hockey League expanded out west and basically conformed the entire Pacific Division out of old ECHL markets. I don't know how close we are to that, if we are even close. A challenge that Orlando specifically would have, and we're speaking in hypotheticals here, is that our ownership group, the DeVos family, RDV Sports and Entertainment, already owns a team in the American Hockey League, the Grand Rapids Griffins. And so we'd be running into another situation like they did back in 2001 when the IHL folded and Orlando was reportedly supposed to go to the American Hockey League. But because the DeVos family already owned the Griffins, they would not allow the DeVos family to own the Orlando Solar Bears, and therefore the team was defunct. So that would obviously, those are two big challenges. One, there's no footprint for it. Two, there's a challenge there ownership wise as it stands right now. And so I don't know how much of an appetite there really is at this point. I can't speak on behalf of the fans, but I know we're very happy with our situation here in the ECHL. We have three of the most successful franchises on and off the ice in the ECHL. And there is a bit of a risk to what you're talking about, Greg. You know, there it's not all reward when it comes to making a switch to a higher league like that. Obviously, from Tampa's perspective, it would make a lot of geographical sense. But you're talking about a legacy franchise in the American Hockey League in Syracuse that's currently their affiliate. So what do we do with that franchise? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of questions that go into it. Right now, I would say I don't know how much of an appetite there is to even explore it, just because of, like I mentioned, the lack of footprint and how much the league would have to alter. But the understanding from the National Hockey League's perspective is that one day they're looking to get to 36 teams. And the idea is to have 36 in the NHL and then everyone have an affiliate. So that would have to mean the American League and the ECHL would have to get to 36. Well, right now the ECHL is at 27. So they got a little ways to go there. And the American Hockey League, I believe, is at 32. So there's a lot of work that will have to go in to make that possible. And I don't know how far down the road we are with that. But obviously, like that, there's kind of a long-winded answer. I apologize.
Oh, sure. No,
it's kind of a loaded question, but it's I don't think right now, considering how much red tape there is in the way of making a change that drastic. And then not only that, I think the on-ice success is something that we has lacked a little bit with the Solar Bears in their infancy here in the ECHL, at least. You know, this is the first time we made the playoffs since 2019. So I think our focus as a franchise right now is obviously continue to do all the things we do off the ice that makes us successful and makes us one of those top gates in the ECHL. But also Naki side is winning winning a division championship and then winning a Kelly Cup.
All right, Joey. All right. You've calmed me down from the AHL, but let me see.
Yeah, thanks for letting me off the hook on that one.
Let me see if I can convince you of this other point. Now, you talked about the NHL trying to get to 36. We just saw the Coyotes get moved very quickly to Salt Lake City. We've seen Orlando in the past try and lure Major League Baseball, try and lure NFL. They already have, we've already agreed, they already have an NHL-suitable arena in the Kia Center. Is the NHL a real possibility for Orlando in the future?
Oh, okay. Well, this is kind of like skipping a step and going to, you know what I
sure.
mean?
Sure. No, we're going that, off the rails a little bit.
Yeah. I think in terms of, oh boy, I don't want to get in trouble here, but I think that the AHL, and this is just me talking. If you had to ask me, this isn't the Orlando Solar Bears speaking here. This is just me.
Just me and you.
Yeah. So I think that from that point of view, it would probably be better if it was an AHL expansion and see how that works. You know, that's what I mean. Like, that's kind of a step. It's kind of like a long step ahead to go to go straight to the NHL. I know what you're saying. And yes, they do have it. Like, yes, the Kia Center theoretically could be an NHL facility and double, you know, what the Rangers do at Madison Square Garden and the Celtics do at TD Garden in Boston and the Pistons and the Red Wings in Detroit with Little Caesars Arena. Yes, Kia Center could be that type of facility. I there's a lot of variables that go in it, and I'm not quite sure at this point if there is anyone that has that is discussing bringing in any, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't even seen that come to the forefront. So right now I'd say that's a dream situation for Orlando to be in the mix of that. Like, that's not even, when I hear rumors about, cities coming up for an NHL team, I usually don't hear about Orlando. But that's not to say that, you know, I didn't hear much about Salt Lake City either. And now all of a sudden they got the Arizona Coyotes. So
overnight,
it's not to say it won't happen. But I don't think at this point that Orlando is high on their list. If I had to guess, again, I'm not privy to that sort of information, but I don't believe at this point that it is, but a lot can change. Like, you know, 25 years ago, you know, Phoenix, Arizona was all the rage and they got out of Winnipeg and they said hockey couldn't work in Winnipeg anymore. So they got out of there. And then in a matter of 25 years, now all of a sudden hockey doesn't work anymore in Arizona and they're back in Winnipeg. Right. So a lot can change in 25 years is my point. And you never know.
All right. I'll go ahead and I'll save this one in the archives. And when the Orlando Solar Bears are an NHL franchise in 10 years, we'll revisit this and we'll talk about it in the upgraded Kia Center about it. Sound good, Joey?
Yeah. We'll have a good laugh. And hopefully by then I'll be the play-by-play for the NHL Orlando Solar Bears and we can rehash all this.
You guys know I had to get him with a little bit of the bring another professional team to Orlando sports talk there at the end. Thank you again to Joey. He was fantastic. If you get a chance, check out the Orlando Solar Bears this coming weekend where they'll have the Kelly Cup playoffs coming to town. They're going to be at the Kia Center on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. And let me know what you thought about our little chat today. Are you following any of the ECHL playoffs? Do you think that having this minor league team here in Orlando is valuable to our sports ecosystem? Let us know in the Zone Heads Orlando Facebook group. Just search for Zone-Heads in Orlando. Conversations like this are always welcome. Look for me on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, all at MySportsFlorida. And also check out the website, MySportsFlorida.com. As always, thank you for listening to the Zone Heads Orlando podcast. This was Greg Rhodes here for The Underreported.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Diamond Dog Athletics, custom baseball and softball uniforms for kids of all ages. Look good, feel good, play good, and email them today. Diamond Dog Athletics, LLC at gmail.com. We appreciate you listening to today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. If you like the content you hear, rate, review, subscribe, and we'll keep it coming. Zoneheads Orlando on Facebook and on Instagram, the Orlando sports content that you crave. We appreciate you checking us out, and if you keep coming, we'll keep cranking out content. Talk soon, Zoneheads.